Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 747. This is your host, Danny. Make sure to get your refunds pretty soon.
Oh my God.
And also,
here we go. 2 seconds into it. Here we go.
And also, we have Mr. Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
Oh, man. Look, I had to get in there. I'm sitting there screaming at my phone with the last episode you and Pete did. I go, what is he talking about? And since we're not going to be able to record live on Sunday for Twitch because Pete and I are out of town, Danny and I were doing this special episode. What is this, Friday night? We're doing this?
Friday night. Yeah. But I think, man, at the end of the day, people also got to understand, man. Sometimes we're passionate about whatever topic it is, you know, and you know, we're just having fun. People are saying I'm taking things personal and stuff. I'm like, nah, man, hell no. I was laughing the whole time listening to the episode.
Here's what it is. I'm joking, obviously, when I'm saying I'm screaming at my phone, but I listened to it and I wish I was on it because I would have jumped in. Here's from my point of view, as the listener's point of view, I get what you were trying to say. I think the way you were saying it, people would take it as you're basically saying, well, if you don't like the game and you don't like the issues that are happening right now, just, you know, basically vote with your wallet is what you're saying. But I was saying to you offline, you can't return the game. And nowadays it's rare instances where you can actually return a physical copy of a game, and the digital ones, you know, you can't return either right now. So,
I think digital is a little bit easier than
if you
retail,
complain. You got to complain.
If you complain.
You can't just it's not like Steam where you, what is it? What do you get it for, 48 hours or something? You can still return it or something like that. I forget.
Yeah, I think a listener posted on Twitter that you could also get refunds on Xbox Live. I think in a certain amount of hours, as soon you open it, it counts. Like, similar to Steam, but I think it's less hours than Steam.
But that goes back to see, here's the thing, because I'm one of those people that had the issue. We're talking Sea of Thieves, if people don't know. So first 2 days, you know, we got the code from Microsoft. So thank you to Microsoft for providing a review code. I wasn't able to get into any full four-man games. Anytime we would try to do a four-man game, it would never do the matchmaking thing. It would air out, wouldn't let us in. Like, I did some two-man stuff, but I could never get the four-man stuff going. So I had even tweeted that second day. I was like, second day in a row, I haven't been able to get the full experience of Sea of Thieves. I said something like, I know they're going to fix it. Of course they're going to fix it. But this is a bad look for at launch. And here's my reasoning on that. There were multiple betas, multiple stress tests that they did for this, right? And I view it as, I'd rather them overcompensate on server capacity than underestimate server capacity, especially at launch. And for a lot of the things that you guys were talking about, and I've seen some other people talking about, Game Pass was marketed heavily the past couple months that Sea of Thieves was going to be a part of it. So just like Pete, you knew there were going to be people that were going to sit on that 2 week trial and wait until Sea of Thieves came out so they could try it. So what I think this potentially could do, and I'm not saying this is happening, but it potentially could turn off some people like Pete that got a trial and say, well, the hell with this. I'm not getting Game Pass. I'm not going to play Sea of Thieves because it had problems. Right now, the last couple of days now, been able to play, no problem. So they've obviously fixed some of these issues. They have been communicating like you were talking about, which is good. And that's what you have to do. If you're going to have issues with your game at launch, you better be very open on social media and every other platform that you have to let the customer know that you're having issues and that you're working on it. So bravo to Rare for being able to do that. And like I said, I'm fine with the game. The game's fine. I mean, I can see some potential long-term issues with the game as far as content goes, but in the short term, Sea of Thieves is fine. Sea of Thieves is fun. My only thing I would say, if I had a criticism of it early on, technical issues aside, is this is not a game to play by yourself. You need to be playing
there's people that like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
That's what I'm saying. I do not like it at all playing solo. The two-man stuff is okay, but the sweet spot is four people, and it's four people you know. And the reason I say that you know, because communication is so critical to everything that you do in this game. The game may be simple in nature as far as the gameplay goes, but it can get complex when you're trying to do multiple things at once, managing the ship, and you get into gunfights and, you know, the treasure, all that stuff that goes, the quest that goes with it and everything. So that requires a lot of communication, and that's where it's easy to pick up, but it's hard to master, because again, you know, when I bring the Destiny analogy into it, the reason I love the Destiny raids is because you're forced to get six people to communicate and work as one. And it's very similar to that with Sea of Thieves, where you're getting four people, they got to communicate and work as one on what you're doing. Like the hilarious clip we had last night where,
oh my God, Pete,
we're going to this island, we're on a quest, and Pete, you know, you get close, you don't want to run ground. So Pete is like trying to time it, and he's like, Danny, drop the anchor. And then you heard Beaker say something else, and you didn't drop the anchor, and you're down below, and we crashed on the island. It was freaking hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. But see, those are special moments. Like, there's no story in this game at all, but we create our own story. That's how I see it with all this, you know, and it's similar to Fortnite. You know, we got Fortnite when it first launched, right? We stopped because we're like, it's a little laggy, you know, it's still beta and all this stuff, right? But look at Fortnite now, months later, new content, you know, and that's what Rare needs to do. And what I said in the last episode is focus on the issues first and then talk about the content. You know, imagine them talking about the content and there's still online issues. I think that looks even worse, you know? So I personally don't like playing this game by myself. I tried the other day. It's just not for me.
No.
But like you said, Paris, you said friends, right? That's great. Yeah. And I totally agree with that. But I've been playing with random people. The majority of them has mics and we become really good friends. I'm like, I'm going to add you. Let's stay in touch. So I met a lot of people that maybe they don't have a lot of friends, but you know, not everybody's going to get lucky when it comes to that, but I've been lucky finding the right people. And dude, we managed to, like, the crazy battle that I had was like over an hour and a half. It was with random people that I met, and we became really good friends because of that. So in a way, it's great because it's a way for you to meet new people. Yes, you might meet some trolls and people that probably will make a horrible experience, right? But I think the majority so far that I met has been great, you know. So I've been lucky with that when it comes to that.
Yeah, and that's all. That's great. And of course, I mean, that's what these games are supposed to promote, is to get people together that don't necessarily know each other to work as a team, and then you become friends and that whole thing. But the one thing that I've seen, a common theme that I've seen on social media the past couple of days, that's and this is where it concerns me, and this is where we need content and see where it goes, is with like the ship to ship battles. Like, okay, because with Sea of Thieves, basically the items that you get, all your characters are the same. They're basically cosmetic, all the items that you get, right? Because, you know, you're just leveling up to get better looking cosmetic gear. It doesn't give you any kind of actual tactical or power advantage against another player. Everyone's basically the same when it comes to that. So what's starting to happen is people aren't even picking up quests. You're getting people that will just literally just set sail, and all they're looking to do is raid other ships and steal their loot. That's all they're doing at this point. And the thing that I've seen on social media is people are starting to say they're actively avoiding other players in the game. Like, if they see another ship, they're like, well, let's get out of here, because they're not going to be friendly. They're just going to try and steal our stuff, kind of thing. So that's something, and I'm not saying this is going to be the meta for the game. We don't know. It's still such early days, but that's just something to keep an eye on. And I'm not sure if all the loot that you get is cosmetic, again, they got to have more. They got to have interesting. They got to have things that, even though it's cosmetic, you want to go on that journey to go get it. It needs to be a fun adventure to go get that cosmetic loot, you know, and they got to keep adding to that, you know, the Kraken, all that stuff that they're getting, you know, like we went in the storm and all those things that we did. So I see the potential of Sea of Thieves. And shout out to Cicero Holmes, because he's the one that brought this up over at Spawn on Me. I have to give credit where credit's due. He said that Sea of Thieves actually is a perfect Game Pass game where, no, you don't go out and spend $60 on it. It's just a game that's a part of the Game Pass service. And that way, it doesn't matter that it's just a more casual cosmetic experience that you just get with your friends and you just have casual fun. You know, versus spending the $60 on it. And if they don't have content readily available, you know, on a normal schedule, you're not going to be upset about that, because it's just part of your Game Pass subscription. And that allows, like you mentioned earlier, the thing that Sea of Thieves is doing is you create your own fun. You create your own adventures with Sea of Thieves. And I think that's where Sea of Thieves is going to find its legs. If they just, if the world's big enough and there's enough people and things that you can interact with in that world, that me and you, Pete, whoever, hey, want to hop on Sea of Thieves tonight? Sure, let's hop on. We just pull the anchor and we just go. And whatever happens, yeah, what happens, we're laughing and talking the whole time and having a good time. So a lot of potential with it.
All about the content.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I truly love this game, man. I don't know. I can't stop playing it, man. You know, I'm going to be real with you. I've been playing more Sea of Thieves than Far Cry 5. I've been playing Far Cry 5 because I really want to talk about hands-on expressions. And I know you guys are going to be getting Far Cry soon for the PC version. Thanks to Ubisoft for sending us the code and everything like that. But yeah, it reminds me of when Viva Piñata and Gears of War came out. Everybody was talking about Gears, right? Oh, man, graphics, shooter. Man, but I spent more time on Viva Piñata because sometimes I like to stay away from the shooters, man. I want to take a break from that. I don't get me wrong. I love shooters. I love Fortnite. I love PUBG, Battle Royale, all that stuff. But I like new experiences, and that's why I was so passionate last episode about this. And, you know, it wasn't taken personal. It was just a discussion, man. But I truly, truly, truly love Sea of Thieves, and I contacted Rare. We're working on getting them on the podcast. I don't know when exactly, but it's going to be very, very soon. And that's the thing. Like, they're open. They're willing to talk about the game. They're like, okay, let's do it. Let's make it happen. So once I find out that they're going to come here, I'll mention our Discord, Twitter, Facebook. I'll update it in a podcast so you guys could maybe send your own questions to Rare. And we'll go from there, man. So anything else about Sea of Thieves, Paris, before we move on?
No, I mean, I think that's about it. Like I said, overall, we're having fun with it. I just, you know, just caution down. Like, let's revisit this a month from now, you know, because I know Pete likes to be the pessimist when it comes to this. Will you be playing this a month from now? He says that all the time, right? And that's a fair question. It's fun right now. Will it be fun a month from now? And the reason I bring that up, not that these games are comparable in this way, but Look at Destiny 2 when that came out. Oh, I couldn't stop singing its praises, right? Where were we a month after that? Where are we right now with it? You know what I mean? So it's great right now, but, you know, and I'm sure these developers, they're seeing what's going on with these shared world games that we have now. Content is king. That's the main thing. Keep me interested in your game. Give me things to do in your game. And as long as I have that, I'll keep coming back to it. That's all.
Let me ask you this question. You know, lately, site's been reviewing Sea of Thieves and it's been getting mixed reviews. I think
it's too early to review it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what's your opinion about that? Because, you know, it was same thing with the first Destiny game and everything. So
any of these shared games, it'll be this with the Division 2. It'll be this with Anthem. Doesn't matter. It's way too early to judge these games. And the game hasn't even been out a week yet. How can you review a game like this in less than a week? Impossible. Because it's honestly, you can have a review in progress and give early impressions. But the real review, in my opinion, I think a minimum a month. Realistically, I think you got to play the game for a month before you can sit back and give an honest, full fleshed out review of what Sea of Thieves is going to be. And now, like I said, that goes with Destiny, The Division, Anthem, any of those kind of games. You have to play it for an extended period of time to truly understand the game.
So with Destiny, it took Bungie maybe a month. Let's say for the first Destiny game, did it took them a month to actually like, okay, I see the potential, I see the content. They're always adding stuff. Was it like that in the first Destiny?
Not necessarily with Destiny. No, 1. Okay. The thing was that raid, because the raid, was it 2 weeks? I think it was 2 weeks with Destiny 1 before they actually put the first raid out. Is once people got to play the raid, then that was like, oh, okay, I see the potential in this. But like I've jokingly said about that, that was the best 6.5 game I've ever played, right? Because it probably deserve a 6.5 at launch. But then a month later, after people played the raid and started to see how, you know, some of the in-game stuff worked, the score would have went up. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's the same case with Destiny 2, but that would have been the case with that. And then, like, again, go to The Division. The Division, maybe that got like an 8 or something at launch. I don't know what kind of review scores it got at launch. I don't remember. But I guarantee you a month later when people are like, wait, this is it? There's no end game? What's going on? Those scores would have went down. You know? So let's see what we're saying about Sea of Thieves a month from now. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. The Division did get 8 and 80%, maybe 3 out of 5. It was okay, you know? But like you said, once people were like, okay, what else we could do after this, after the end game content? There's none. So, cool. All right, yeah, we'll talk about Sea of Thieves a month from now, and I'm definitely gonna be playing it for sure.
You know? Yeah, for sure. That's what I mean. It's a great game to hop in with your buddies with. So it was like, if any of you guys ever hit me up, hey, you want to do some Sea of Thieves? Of course, we hop on the ship and, you know, have fun. And not to mention, I feel like it's a great game to stream as well, because I feel like with its casual nature, you can be a lot more interactive with your audience, because, you know, they feel like they're a part of the experience too, and they're laughing with you and, you know, all that stuff. It's great. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Now, transitioning from Sea of Thieves, another game that I've been playing and just talking about, not going to rush to do a review on it, MLB The Show 18. I got to thank PlayStation. They sent me over a review code earlier this week, and I've been playing it since Monday. We're recording this on a Friday. I've been playing it since Monday, and I've been doing the Road to the Show, which is basically like create a character. Matter of fact, you know our good friend Doug, Good Game Bro? He is a character in the game.
Yeah, shout out to him. I mentioned that dude. Hey, congrats.
So much love to Doug, man. He's killing it. He's like in every damn video game. It's a sports video game. His face is in it. I don't know what's going on. But he's in it. He's a character in a game, which is hilarious to me. But I've been doing Road to the Show, which is basically like create a character. I start off in the minors and I work my way up all the way up to the majors. And you know, I haven't played MLB in 2 years. It's been like a 2 year break I took, and I'm getting back into it now. And I can tell you already, taking that 2 year break, oh man, they've added so many features to it. It's, if you're into that sim experience for baseball, if you're a baseball fan, just, oh man, it's just a smorgasbord of features. I love now that they can cater to the super hardcore sim, and then just the more easier arcade folks with the different features that you can have. Like there's 4 different layouts you can do for batting, 4 different layouts you can do for throwing, for pitching, for fielding. I mean, base running, all that they have in there now. And I've been going through and I've been kind of doing a mixture of some of the really hard stuff. Like for batting, I have it to what I consider the hard setting. But for base running, because I always suck at base running, I kind of got that more at the easy one. Pitching, I got in the middle, and throwing, I got kind of in the middle. And just graphically, man, whew, beautiful. It's in 4K.
Yeah, it's 4K, right?
Yeah, it's 4K. Man, playing it on PS4 Pro. Looks fantastic. I'm playing the Cubs. I've been doing like some arcade matches as well. You know, just like some one-off games while I'm doing the Road to the Show. But I've been playing a lot with the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Padres. Just the stadium recreations are really good. The announced team is really good. again, just the animations that they have with the pitchers and the batting and the throwing, it's all very realistic. Like, I feel like I'm a part of the experience when I'm hitting the baseball, when I'm throwing that 85 mile per hour curveball to strike a dude out, you know, hitting into the gap for a double and coming around the thing, you know, homers, all that. It's really good. Really, really good. Now, I'm not giving this as a final review because to me, I want to get that full Road to the Show experience and it's going to be a time sink. So realistically, I probably won't give my full final impressions for at least probably 3 more weeks, a month, something like that. Because it's something that, you know, sit down, play a couple games every night and just take my time with it. And when I talk about the whole Road to the Show experience, you can have the full GM experience in the game where you can literally build your team, the drafting, you know, you got your, not necessarily salary cap, but you got your, because, you know, there's no salary cap in baseball, but you got your budget. You can do trades with other people. It's just anything that you can think of to do in baseball, be it on the field or in the front office, you can do in this game. That's the best way I can describe it. And, I mean, dude, Sony San Diego, another hit on their hands, man. Shout out to Russell. And those guys over there, man, because fantastic.
I have a question. Do they have anything with the World Baseball Classic too in there?
I believe so. Yes, I've not done it yet, but I believe the World Baseball Classic is in here. I believe so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it is. Pretty sure, but I've not
now,
done it yet.
I know you mentioned about commentary and everything. How's the commentary compared to the last time you got to play? Similar or a little
better? It's better. You can tell the technology is getting better and they're getting these guys and they're doing their lines and it's reacting to it, like exactly what's happening on the field. And I feel like the commentary is very relevant to it. It's good. It's really good.
That's good. And online, have you tried online or not?
No, online's not available yet. I think the game's not officially out. Like, everyone will be listening to this on Monday. I think it's out Tuesday.
Oh, same day as Far Cry.
Yeah, I believe so. Uh-huh. Yeah. I know some people are getting it early because I've seen some things on like Instagram with some people getting early copies of it, but I don't think it's officially out until the 27th.
Oh, until the 27th. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. That's good, man. That's good. Plus 4K. Ooh, yeah, the last game you played just normal.
That's what I'm saying. Because you know what? I think it's been 3 years. Now that I think about it, I don't think I played MLB. I think the last MLB The Show I played was 14. Yeah.
So it was during the launch of PlayStation 4?
It was 15 then. Because I played the first one that came out on PlayStation 4, and then I played the second one on PS4. So, yeah, must have been 15 then. I could go back to the archives and look. But cool. but anyways, cool. Regardless. So what I'm trying to say is, I mean, this is definitely, if you're a sports fan, you're a baseball fan, and you're into the sim experience, you know, this is definitely something you want to pick up, even if you're into the arcade experience of it. I mean, they basically got modes for everyone, for all type of sports fans, baseball fans in this game. It's really good.
You know what's sad? That there's not that many baseball games, so it's only RBI, which is, it's okay. And there's this, and that's it. So 2K stopped making baseball games, EA stopped making baseball games, which is sad, man, because It's a great sport, man. I love it. You know, especially in the islands, man, the Caribbean.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah. Dominican Republic, huge. Huge.
Huge Cuba. Yeah. Puerto Rico. Yeah, man. Yep. Cool. All right, Paris, let's talk about Hope County Stories, man. I know you're back from the father and his Eden's Gate.
Yeah, he took me. He got me.
he's like, Paris is family now.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, your thoughts about Hope County Stories episode 4, man, before we talk about Far Cry 5.
No, it was really good because, I mean, the inside baseball on that one was the event that you guys went to be able to record it. Last minute, I couldn't go due to work commitments. So I didn't get to go. So that's why he's like, that's why if you notice on the last few, you don't hear me in there talking with Danny and Pete because I wasn't there and they recorded all that stuff. And then when they got to talk to Greg to record the final part, I wasn't there. So that's why I was a part of the family. He already had me.
It's all good. Yeah man, dude, I've been playing Far Cry 5 now a couple of days. I also streamed it online on Twitch and stuff. And I showed first I want to go to the Far Cry 5 arcade first, because, you know, we talked a lot about the story and everything. But here's the interesting thing about Far Cry 5 arcade. Those who don't know, this is like where the community and even the developers, they could create different levels, different missions, post it up. You guys could review it and all this stuff, right? So there's already a couple of stuff there that as soon as you get the game, it's available there to try out. So I've been playing a lot of the solo missions through the Far Cry 5 arcade. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I really didn't like it at first. When we went to the event, I was like, it's okay. But today, loved it. I think it's because it was better levels that was available there than compared to the one that at the event. And I had a blast. And I even was telling the community, you know, if anybody creates any special maps, GTR related, let us know. We'll promote it here. We'll talk about it. We'll review it. And we'll try it out. You know, so yeah, I'm a person that I can create stuff. I prefer to play creation from other people. So similar to like Little Big Planet and so on, Minecraft, I'd rather play other people's creation. So that's the thing I'm really excited about Far Cry 5 Arcade. I'm excited to see what people create in this game. You know, so there you could play solo. You could also play co-op. There's also multiplayer sessions where you could also create maps for deathmatch and all stuff multiplayer wise. So that's really, really cool. So you haven't had a chance to check that out, Paris, right?
Like I said, I mean, literally as we're recording this, I may be getting my PC review code, so I haven't received it yet to be able to play. So hopefully by the time people listen to this, I will have had it and played it for a couple of days.
Yeah, so it's cool. Now let's go back to the story. Hope County, man. I'm loving it. I'm loving the environment. I'm loving the interaction I have with people. I find it that you're not safe anywhere you go, because there's always people after you, because there's so many people that's part of Eden's Gate. But I'm loving it. I'm loving the characters. I love the villains. Dude, it's freaking good. Right now, I was so far in the game. But because of the stream, we were not allowed to show certain parts of the game, you know, because I don't want people to get spoilers and it will mess up like their experience, you know, because the thing that I love about this game is there's so many twists in the story that it's good to play it without knowing anything, man, to get like a better gaming experience, in my opinion, you know, but it's really, really cool. And this is a game I think people are going to be talking about a lot throughout this year, man. You know, I'm very excited for the future of Far Cry 5, like all the content, the DLC and all that stuff that's coming later this year. But it's awesome, man. So, so awesome. The first thing I did, Paris, I went to get Boomer. Boomer's my homie, man. I went to meet with Boomer. That's one of the characters you could get that also will help you defeat other enemies and stuff. And then I got Nick. I'm not a fan of flying planes, right? But I think it was good, the controls for his plane, because there's missions that you have to do, you know, after you meet up with Nick and all this stuff. So it's really, really good, man. Controls is really awesome. Love this. The soundtrack is so good. Oh, my God, it's so good. You know, the sad thing is we can't show much on Twitch or on YouTube because it's licensed songs, some of them. And, you know, they probably will block that or mute it and stuff. But it's cool overall, man. I just want to get your opinion, because I know you played it a couple times at past events and also at E3. What are your thoughts about the environment, the certain things that you do here in the game? There's a lot of mini games and so on. So that is no
problem. Well, I mean, you know, we've talked about, like, my experience has been limited with it, unfortunately, because, you know, a few of the events that you guys went to, I wasn't able to attend. So I've only played it. I played it once at E3. And then when one of the preview events we went to in San Francisco, it was when they first introduced co-op. That's the one I got to play. And, you know, I played that with Pete, and, it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Like I said, Hope County, just the open world sandbox of it is huge. And, you know, just all the different, you know, toys that you'll be able to get in that sandbox with all the vehicles and the weapons. And the one thing that stood out to me was, even going through the woods, you could get attacked by anything. I remember a bear just came out of nowhere and got me one time, you know, and There was like one mission that was kind of stealthy, like where we had to go into a house and rescue these hostages and things like that. And then there was another one where there was, you had to disable some kind of, it was, I don't know, it was like a bomb or missile, I forget now, but we had to sneak into like this farmhouse and, or barn and disable whatever the bomb or weapon was, you know. So it's just from that little taste of it, and this had nothing to do with the story, so I don't know how any of that's going to go. You know, I could definitely tell that there's going to be a lot of hours sunk into playing Far Cry 5. So, I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. So I can't wait to get my code so I can jump in and have a more well-formed opinion on it.
Yeah, and you know what happened to me today? So I was streaming, and I had to save one of the, you know, a character that I met and stuff, so my character could level up. So I went, revived this character. They picked up the gun. And out of nowhere, a turkey just came and started running towards us. And I'm like, oh, why the turkey is running? Like, I thought it was like an enemy going after them or something. No, the turkey came and attacked the person that just revived and stuff. And the character just went down again. I'm like, what? And the turkey was about to attack me and I had to shoot him. I'm like, yo, what the hell? What's wrong with this?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's the thing. Like, the world, dude, it feels so big, and there's so much stuff to do in this game, man. Like today I just played a mini game that I've never got to see. It's like a card one that you go through into flames, and every time you go, I think there's like a time limit. You have to get to different checkpoints. And if you don't, your car is going to explode because your car is full of fire. So you have to go to these checkpoints, which is going to give you extended time and also water for your car, so it won't blow up. So if you reach towards the finish line at the end, then you finish the mini game and stuff. So
right.
Yeah, it's really, really cool, man. I like it. Now, co-op, I'm excited to play co-op, man, but I personally, I feel that I would rather play this game single player than co-op, in my opinion. I don't know if you feel the same, Paris. Maybe.
Well, no, we were kind of talking about that a few episodes ago because people were worried about, you know, because you wouldn't save your progress or something if you jumped into someone's game on the co-op or whatever. And I was even saying then, honestly, I feel like I would want to play solo first, complete the game by myself before I'd actually jump into someone's co-op match anyway. So, yeah, to me, co-op's nice to have, but if it wasn't even in the game, I wouldn't be screaming for it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And I think it's fine if there's no co-op. I'll be fine. It's a game, in my opinion, to, like we said, Sea of Thieves is better with friends. Far Cry 5, I think, is better alone.
And speaking alone, you know, you and I are sitting here doing this podcast right now. Pete was like, F you guys. And he's literally on Twitch right now playing Sea of Thieves. I'm watching him. See how it is? Wow.
He's playing with committee members and stuff, so shout out to Pete. He's loving it. See, Pete will complain, but yo, he's been playing this game every night.
Okay. Speaking of, I do have another nitpick that we got to go back to. So yeah, they got to fix the invite system with Sea of Thieves. I don't like that if we're already in a match, like we can't just pull someone in with us. We got to completely stop and get out and start over. I don't like that.
I haven't had that issue, Paris. That's what I was telling you the other night. Like we were in the middle of a match and a random person joined the, well, actually we were in a quest.
No, but that's my point. There's no way for you. Like, let's say me, you and Pete are playing and then we want to bring in Mandy, right? And we got a random in. There's no way to kick the random out and bring Mandy in.
Oh, the only way, if you vote to lock up the random for them to leave, and then they'll make space for like another person to invite. Yeah, that part I can understand.
They gotta tweak that. You know what I'm saying? Make it more seamless to be able to go in and out of stuff like that. And by the way, because you've been playing on Xbox, I've been playing on Windows 10, so Xbox Play Anywhere. And for the most part, like other than just that, it's been fine. Been fine.
I've crossplay's
been
Paris. Fine.
Been playing in 4K. You know, you've been able to, you know, I have to pull up like the Xbox app if I want to invite people. So, that's another nitpick. I'd rather have that stuff in the actual game. I shouldn't have to leave the game, pull up the Xbox app to to invite people in the stuff or to join someone's game. Cause that's the other thing I didn't like too. They need to have that end game. And another thing, I should have invite notifications in the game. They're not in the game when I play on Windows.
Yeah. That's the thing I'm confused about the whole PC. Like I try to invite you, but you don't get the notification. I never get
the notification. I have to literally pull up the Xbox app, go to your name, and then I'll see join game, and then I can join it that way. So they got to fix that too.
Huh. Because a couple of people say that they get the notification unless you have the notification off. That's possible.
Yeah. I looked. I had notifications on. So I don't know. Again, that's a technical discussion for another day. But
yeah,
that would just be another little nitpick that I've seen. But I would just say overall, just speaking of Game Pass and Xbox Play Anywhere and that GDC, they were having some talks there as well about basically bringing the Xbox UI to Windows 10 and making it a completely seamless experience, no matter what platform you're on, which goes back to what, you know, I've been talking about ever since they announced Xbox Play Anywhere. They don't care what hardware you play on. They care about you being a part of their ecosystem, because there was even rumblings coming out of GDC that there could be, you could see Game Pass come to Windows 10. That happens, it's a freaking wrap. Because at that point, they're basically just making Xbox a service. It's not about hardware. Mm-hmm. They're basically saying, hey, if you don't want to build a PC, we'll provide you the platform. We'll provide you an Xbox so you can play, use all our features. But if you want to build your own PC, hey, just sign in to Xbox, boom, Windows 10. You can still have it there too. They do that.
So that means, because right now, he's playing CFDs through Game Pass on the PC, but the one that you're talking about, Game Pass is all the games that's available there on
Game Pass. Yeah.
Okay. So for people don't get confused. Yeah.
I guess I should have clarified that. But yeah, everything would be available on Windows 10. But like you're even saying with that, like if I were to buy Game Pass right now, then that would mean all the new Xbox games coming out, I'm gonna get Sea of Thieves, State of Decay, whatever Halo is going to be, the next Gears, et cetera, down the road as those games come out. Though I would be able to play those on Windows 10 regardless right now with Game Pass. But I'm talking about 360 games, everything would be on Windows 10. That'd be crazy.
Man, I'm loving this crossplay thing, man. The more I play, the more I play with you guys. Like, I feel like we're not missing out because of that.
Nope,
you know, we played Fortnite the other day, crossplay. We play, and I wish they could do that with PUBG. I think that would have been awesome. But we did that with Fortnite. I even was playing, like we even tested out. I was on my iOS device, my iPad. Paris joined my game and it worked. And that's me on my iPad, which was freaking awesome. You know? So yeah, that. And Sea of Thieves, I think the first experience we ever had something like that was with the Gears of War 4.
Mm-hmm.
It's smooth, man. Love it. So I hope to see that more in the future, especially, you know, those first party games and also third party games like Rocket League and all that stuff. They've been doing a great job with that, man. So
You said, the Fortnite thing, that was my first time playing Fortnite. I'd never played it before, and I was on the PC, and you were on your iPad, worked just fine, and then you know, you hooked me up with the mobile code for Fortnite. So I gave that to my son. So my son and I were playing, you know, as well. He's on the iPad and I was on PC, worked just fine. So that's really dope. Dude, that's the future of all this stuff. And that's where PlayStation needs to go ahead and buy in on this as well, because Microsoft is proving right now crossplay works. It's not hurting anything that you're trying to do. Like I said, for me, I don't even have, like, it's just funny. I swear this conversation happened right before we recorded. Trey was talking about when his buddies plays Fortnite, and I was like, well, why don't you play with him? He goes, oh, because he's on Xbox and I'm on PlayStation and the mobile. He goes, I don't want to play with him on Xbox and I'm on iPad because he want to play on his PlayStation. And then my wife goes, are you anti-Xbox? Why do we have an Xbox? She said that to me.
That is so funny.
And I just started laughing. Good. And I just said, I don't need it. And then my son even go, well, we did have an Xbox, but you didn't like the sounds it was making and you returned it. He called me out.
Oh, he called you out. That is so funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I got to give props to Sony too, because they slowly are doing that slowly, not as fast like Nintendo and Xbox. You know, Nintendo were like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Crossplay is fine. And Xbox has been doing it for a while now, but Sony slowly are doing it, because you can play PlayStation 4 and PC and PlayStation 4 and iOS, so that's fine. But yeah, they need to do that, man. Look, Phil Spencer said it himself, he doesn't care if PlayStation owners want to play Xbox online, go for it, that's fine.
Yeah, but why not?
You know, Sony's number one right now, so of course they're not gonna let that, because it's promoting their competition. That's the
problem. Let me say this just to transition into that. And I agree. Sony needs to give this up and start doing crossplay too. But just transition into PlayStation for a sec. Cause you guys didn't talk about it last episode. Dude, God of War looks good.
Oh,
God of War looks really, really good. Yeah, I'm digging the changes that they're making. It isn't the classic God of War that we remember for, you know, from the PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. This God of War, it's the cameras over your shoulder, you know, it's that third person behind the shoulder view. You know, the only weapon you have is that axe and just the combos that you can do. And then your son is like the companion, and you can use him in battle to, you know, to help you as well. Look really good. Game, I mean, graphically looks fantastic. It sounds like the story is going to be a very memorable one that probably gets you, you know, like This Is Us or something like that, the whole father son thing. Yep. So
you mean This Is Us or Last of Us?
No, this the TV show This Is Us.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't watch it. Anyways, but my point is, I mean, it looks very compelling. Very, very compelling. I can't wait till April 20th, man. And so we can get hands on with it and play it. But you know, kind of what you were saying, they're the leader and all that, blah, blah, blah. These are the kind of games that they're keeping the lead, man. They got compelling games coming this year. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know, like we said, God of War, Detroit is a, I don't know on Detroit. Some of it looks really good. Some of it looks kind of sketchy to me. I don't know, but dude, we know Spider-Man's going to be one of the biggest games this year. And the only place you can play that.
I mean, that's what old Sony needs is God of War and Spider-Man. That's it.
Yeah. And then they just had the Shadow of Colossus remake. It just came out. I mean, and who knows what they're going to announce at E3. We know The Last of Us 2 is eventually going to come. Days Gone is going to eventually come. Horizon Zero Dawn's been a big hit for them as well. I mean, that's why the Sony arrogance is back. And I guess it's warranted because they're doing their thing, you know.
They're doing their thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I love MLB. Like, I love baseball, but I don't see that as a, okay, let me buy a PlayStation 4
for...
You know,
no. MLB The Show is a niche game. I mean, you got to be number one. You got to be a baseball fan, number one, and number two, you got to really be into sim baseball to want to every year go pick it up and be really hardcore into it. But I mean, obviously, it's been a success for Sony. It has its audience. They have their loyal fans that pick it up every year. So, you know, but again, I mean, they're the only realistic baseball game on the market right now. Because what was the old EA one? God, what was that called again? Now I'm forgetting.
Oh my God, I can't remember.
Oh my God, because that's the one I used to play all the time. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. Oh well. But
all right. Let me see if I can find baseball.
Oh, why am I tripping?
EA games. That's it right now. MVP baseball series?
Was it MVP? Yeah, it was MVP. Yeah, MVP baseball. Yeah. That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Paz, before we wrap it up, let's shout out Khalif from Spot on Me making moves over there.
GDC, yeah, man. I definitely want to do that. Yeah.
Making a lot of moves over there. I know he hosted an event at, what's it, Blacks and Gaming, I think it was called?
Yeah, Blacks and Gaming. He hosted it last year as well. It's sponsored by Microsoft.
Cool. Yeah, and also he was at Kind of Funny podcast a couple of days ago. Shout out to Khalif, man. That's what I'm talking about. Like, we need people like Khalif to make moves like this, man. If you really want something in life, you got to make moves. You can't just sit back and just, you know, wait for things to come. No, you have to go and look for it, man, and make those connections, you know. And I think I think Khalif is doing it the right way, man. It reminds me a lot of us, like us, when we all started, you know, back in the days and stuff. This is a great move. So I personally think that this is a great move and a great thing for us overall, for blacks, Latinos, minorities, you know. I think
100%.
This is awesome. So shout out to Khalif. I'm super proud of him.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm very happy for him because when he finished the finished doing Kind of Funny with Greg, I immediately texted him like right when it ended, and we had a little conversation about it. And I told him, I was like, man, I go, cause at first, when he first went up there, he looked kind of nervous at first. So I was like, uh-oh. But then he settled right in and was mad comfortable. Like he was so comfortable. I was like, look at this dude on here correcting Greg on his show about something. Yeah. I was like, he's mad comfortable. And then he was also, he was on What's Good Games. God, I never say that right. With Andrea Renee and Blonde Nerd and over there. God, I think
shout out to them.
Yeah, that was like over 2-hour show he was on. And then obviously he hosted the Blacks in Gaming thing during GDC as well. And, you know, I just joke with him all the time. You know, that's my brother, man. And, you know, I say, I'm living the dream through you. You know, I'm just so happy for him that he's getting that exposure and being able, cause like, look, we're talking about him on Spawn on Me and doing all this stuff now. Someone's going to snatch him up soon. He ain't going to be a podcasting soon. He's going to be working for somebody real soon.
Yeah.
Cause he's that talented.
I see that happening.
Yep. 100%, man. So yeah, shout out to him. Cool. Spawn on Me, all those guys. Can't wait to see him at E3 this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, Paris, you weren't here for the announcement of Audio Boom. I know you want to say anything about us joining Audio Boom Podcast Network and anything about that?
No, I mean, it was the right move for us at the right time. I mean, CBS had obviously been real good to us, you know, the past 3 years. I'm not going to say nothing, but CBS has been good to us. And, you know, no, I'll say this. That relationship isn't 100% ending. So that's the point I'm trying to make. We're leaving on good terms, and you know, for what we're trying to do, you know, for Gamer Tag Radio Gone Audio Boom, it's just going to help us because it's going to put us on more platforms. Like, as a matter of fact, now we're on a Google Play Music, right?
Yep. Google Play Music. Yep.
Yeah. Which we weren't before when we were 100% part of CBS. So, you know, it's good. And like I said, that relationship with CBS is not 100% ending either way. So it's just a good thing. It was the right move at the right time.
Yeah. And you can still listen to us at radio.com. You could go over there and listen to the podcast, you know, so.
And that's what I mean. I mean, we're still a part of radio.com. So if you were listening to us via that, I mean, that's not changing. So
yeah, good. Definitely, man. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Also, you can find us on audioboom.com. And you can find us and subscribe or follow us on iTunes, actually Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Shout out to everybody that have been listening to the podcast. I know we just made the changes a couple of days ago. Hopefully by now, it's already 100%. And, you know, so make sure to subscribe and listen to all the past episodes you see there, man. So it's going to go directly to our new home, audioboom.com. All right. So anything else, Paris, before we head out?
Yeah. I want one more shout out. I recorded another episode of Remember When with Jay, and we actually did it live on the Gamertag Radio Twitch channel. So when we recorded, that was Sunday afternoon, like at 11:30 a.m. we recorded. And then the audio version of that is out now on Remember When RSS feed. So if you like pop culture and a lot of Infinity War talk, you could go check us out. Myself and Jay doing that. And for those of you that may remember me from way back in the day, Jay and I are going to do special, like one-off episodes of Uncle Gamer. It's going to come back. Just me and Jay. No Danny, no Pete. Just me and Jay, like back in the day, and we're going to talk video games. Matter of fact, if you go watch the Twitch stream, the video on demand, we actually kind of did a little mini episode right before we started doing Remember When. So, look, I'm not doing Uncle Gamer full-time, not leaving GTR. None of that stuff's happened. None of that. But just every now and again, Jay and I can get together because, you know, Jay was working 100% in the gaming. He was working for a development company in the gaming side. So that's why he stopped doing Uncle Gamer to begin with, right? Back in the day. And now he's still on the development side, but it's not in gaming anymore. So now he can start talking gaming again. And if you know the relationship that I have with him, it ain't like with Danny and Pete where we disagree and, you know, we cussing at each other and all that. But Jay and I don't disagree. We don't agree all the time either. And it's always some interesting conversations that come out of that. So definitely cool. Check us out on that. And I'll let you guys know when we actually do a video game episode of that. And you can listen to that as well.
And you can watch it live on Twitch, right?
That's right. It'll be live on Twitch.
There you go. So make sure to follow Paris on Twitter. He will give you the scoop on that. Or follow us on Twitch. We get a notification once we're live and stuff. So for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So until next time, we're out. Peace. Take care. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.